Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are live!
Hell on the Show Radio!
As the snow flies on a cold and gray Chicago morning, a poor little baby child is born in the ghetto, and his mama cries.
Yeah. Why don't you go cry when you lose another match this month?
Oh,
blah blah blah. We can cut him off now. We hang up on Rough Deck. Can we hang up on him?
No, because Justin America is an exquisite guest.
Only in the ghetto.
What?
Only that makes no sense.
It makes perfect sense. You're American icon only in the ghetto.
I don't get it, Justin.
I'm sure it's a hip hop reference. I don't listen to hip hop. I'll have to ask Jake about that one.
Are we going real for a second there?
Anyway.
Is this like the Snickers commercials where he starts making sense and after he gets the Snickers he feels better?
Hold on. Let me take a bite of this hoagie for a second.
Yeah.
I hope so. Now, Justin, you have a...
makes sense!
We'll talk. It didn't, Dan.
It did!
Flaming fire.
God!
Justin, we'll talk very
soon. God damn it.
All right, we're back. And apparently Dan's seriously pissed. Why, Dan?
I'm leaving the show to become a stand-up comedian.
You're above average.
Usually when we type something in chat, you're not supposed to repeat it on air. I'm just saying.
Well, Dan, I want to get to the heart of it. I want to know why you're...
Talk about it! Let's go! Move on!
Fair enough.
God.
Fair enough.
You're playing on my... Never mind.
It's an entirely different plane that your mind works on, Dan. He's an American icon in the ghetto. What the hell does that mean?
That means they only heard of him in the ghetto. That means only the Americans in the ghetto know who he is.
How does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense!
If you have to explain it that much, Dan.
Okay, it makes sense, but it wasn't funny.
That's better. That's fine.
Okay.
And it was funny.
I'm glad we could come together in mutual agreement.
I don't know.
And his mama cried. Episode 52 of Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
Boy.
I am your host. I am the Dean of Credibility, Double D, the most sought-after man on the independent scene, Dan.
The most sought-after announced interviewer ever in indie wrestling. And that's the way it should be.
And I don't mind saying it.
Saying the truth. It's the truth, and those who are blind shall someday see.
Oh, I can't wait. Anyway, you can follow me at Folsom County. With me, as always, and Dan, I cooked something up for you over the weekend, and let's just get to it right here. Dan, this is for you. This is for you, buddy. Right here. The above-average comedian, Dan the Man Colachico.
Yo! What's going on, folks? You can follow me at DanLaw83.
Yes, that's right. It's Dan the Man Colachico. How are you tonight, sir?
Good evening, everyone. And yes, Jesus, he does know me.
And with us from the very start, because Woo-hoo! You never know. You never know.
Yeah.
When we have Devin Moore scheduled. you just never know if you might have to pull a trick from the bag, so to say. It's Omega Squad. Chris Green, how are you tonight, sir?
I am doing fine. And greetings to all the listeners in the podcast universe, I guess.
That was very David DeCookish.
Very, very.
Yeah, it was.
I just want to say, Mr. Green, I never heard your Flaming Fire comment until...
Until 2 minutes ago?
Until 2 minutes ago. That's funny. Yeah,
Flaming Fire, yes.
Flaming Fire.
It got lost in the shuffle.
It did, because I was talking over you.
Yeah, that never happens.
It's usually how it goes.
Yeah.
So tonight, Devin Moore, as we alluded to, is supposed to be giving us a call. We'll see. This is round two for Devin Moore. But let's talk about we're going to have Chris Wilde. He will definitely call in. I know that. So Chris Wilde, of course, he's in this year's Super 8, Dan. And, of course, on Saturday, he has an Iron Man match.
An Iron Man match. And I hope he's been training.
Eating his vitamins, Dan.
Eating his vitamins, saying his prayers, and listening to plenty of Quiet Riot.
Yes. Because
nothing wrong with that.
No, I don't see anything wrong with that.
I see nothing wrong with listening to Quiet Riot.
I didn't say there was.
No, he was. We're all on the same page, Dan.
Look, thank you. Shut up, Chris.
We're all in agreement about the efficacy of Quiet Riot.
You're so defensive after last week, Dan.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Now before,
the proper answer was no. I'm not.
No, I'm not.
Makes perfect sense.
It's perfect dollars and cents, pounds, shillings, and pence. Before we continue, I do want to say, happy birthday, Dean. It's coming up.
It is coming up, yes. This past year, I'll get into it in overtime. That feels like the proper place.
You're 30, right?
Just turned 30, yes.
Yeah, just turned 30.
Yes.
The smoking will put years on you.
What?
The smoking will put years on you.
Well, the smoking and, you know, the stress. I'm the Dean of Credibility, Double D, of course. You can find me at Folsom County, Dan Law, DanLaw83, and Omega Squad at Omega Squad. You can read the blog at HIACTalkRadio.com. It hasn't been updated in a while, though.
10-4, I'll get right on it.
Okay.
I've been busy.
Okay. I'll do something.
I know. I was going to write a recap of this and that and the other, and I whatever. I don't know.
Someday the blog might be used for a little bit of venting. You never know.
You never know. You never know. That might be the place to read things.
Shite happens.
Yeah. Follow us on the Twitter, and that's at HIAC Talk Radio. Like the Facebook at facebook.com/HIAC Talk Radio. And you can subscribe on iTunes. You can listen to us on Stitcher. And we are proudly part of the BradyHicks.com.
Finally back online. It was like I missed it.
I did too.
I miss Brady too. He's a good friend.
Brady is a great guy, and I'm going to go on the record right now. I'm going to go on the record. Are both of you ready for this?
I'm ready.
I'm listening. I have my writing implement. I'm ready.
I've done my due diligence. I'm ready.
Yeah. Oh, Dan, you had to do it again.
Flaming fire, bitch. Go ahead.
I am going to say right now, Brady and I, within a year, if not already, will be the best announced team on the independent scene. Once we get more known, and I don't mind saying.
I will argue probably one of the best already. And they don't come in, they don't come apart. They only go together.
Well, that remains to be seen then.
We'll see. Apparently.
We'll see. So, you know what? We have a little bit of time, it looks like.
Of course.
He's living up, you know what? He's really living up to that Nation of Intoxication gimmick. You know, live the gimmick.
What, irresponsible?
Well, if you're intoxicated all the time.
I'm not saying
he's intoxicated right now.
I've been drunk a couple times, and I'm always friendly.
And the other show we used to be a part of, I would still come on. I made my commitments.
You made your commitments. In fact, you were ahead of time than the boss.
You
were already on time, and he was never there. Oh, guys, 2 minutes, I'm ready. What are we going to talk about tonight? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, why don't we talk about Raw? Everybody's going crazy about this. But everybody's going crazy about this match. CM Punk, John Cena. I didn't see it. Why is everybody going crazy?
It was good.
I don't mean I didn't see. I don't see why everybody is so high on this match.
Why? I don't.
Because the expectations were low.
Yeah, I was going to say, because I thought it was like, great, Cena.
But everybody's saying it's a 5-star match. It's the best match. I read a blog where this guy said it was the best match in Raw history.
It wasn't Captain Dave, was it?
No. Justin Henry from the Camel Clutch blog said it was the best match.
Well, I respect his opinion because usually we are on the same page. He and I are on the same page.
Well, the main writer for Camel Clutch blog, that's not Justin Henry. Justin Henry is one of his contributors.
Ew.
Yes, Eric, I forget the guy's last name.
Actually, I didn't know his first name. I just knew him as Camel Clutch blog.
Yeah, well, there you go. But Justin Henry has gone on the record saying this is like the greatest match ever on Raw.
When you go on record on the internet, it's like, you know, you might as well just put up a Wikipedia article saying it was the greatest match ever. But
I'm going to start a Wikipedia page, Dean and Brady, greatest of all time.
Yeah, just, you know, I will sponsor and support that 100%. I wouldn't say five star. We're just touching on stuff. I wouldn't say 5-star, but I would say 3.5, 4. Like, it was decent. It was good. Again, it was exactly as Chris said. My expectations were low. And when I say that, I want to say to myself, how dare you, because I don't have a problem with John Cena. I certainly don't have a problem with CM Punk. But it was better than I expected for Raw when sometimes you get a stinker.
Well, you know, I think the expectation was more along the lines of, we're going to get a passable match because CM Punk really can't not have a passable match.
Exactly.
We expected a run-in of some sort, either from Taker or from somebody, or Shield or somebody.
Taker.
You know.
Where was Taker?
They're going to milk that. Are you kidding? They're milking that.
But I think we were all expecting that, and everybody was probably had their mindset on it, and then they come out with a match that actually told a story, and it had some really great drama and some really great tension and some really great false finishes, and they were pulling moves out that they don't pull out, and I think it was just, this was not what we expected, and it was good.
Now hold on a second, Dean. Where do you put the match? Oh, you haven't seen it?
No, I have, but I just don't get it. I don't get the praise for it. You know, maybe it's me, and the whole idea of what I think a great match is.
I'm asking you.
Psychology is up there, number one. Mm-hmm. And there was psychology in that match, don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. But I think everybody's trying to put on a WrestleMania match these days. And what I mean by that is, several false finishes, at least 10 false finishes.
Why is that bad?
Because the days of a finisher meaning something are long gone.
Well, yeah, but that's already gone.
But it shouldn't be, and it doesn't have to be. Everybody's working harder. They're not working smarter, Dan.
I don't understand how any of that was bad.
Tell me why a man is kicking out of a GTS.
Nobody should kick out of anybody's finisher, period.
Exactly. My point exactly.
Because he's Batman?
Superman. Something. Something. But I mean, how do you guys feel about that? Like, all these.
Well, I mean, I've become jaded to the finish thing to the point where it's like, well, you know, I'm over that. I don't care. I agree with you, but in today's, I say it all the time. So in that sense, it wasn't. You know, I don't hold that against the match.
What about you, Chris?
No, I mean, I you know, in logically, I understand the point. Completely get it. I think I'm with Dan here. We've seen it so many times. It's just kind of accepted. In the wrestling world now, that's going to happen, and you know, you have to hit it a certain way in order to get a finisher to actually pin somebody. But that being said, the stakes for this match were high. It's a significant. It was a significant event, and it sets up a future storyline. It makes the Cena Rock championship match that much bigger. I think it accomplished what it was set out to accomplish.
Yeah.
And I think it, you know, I think it did it in a better way than we, again, like I said before, like we expected it to. We expected it to go over one way. It didn't go over that way, and it was better.
Once everybody started kicking out of the Hulk Hogan leg drop, it was all over.
Did anybody ever kick out of that?
Well, Sting did.
Oh. Well, that's a discussion for another day. Sting.
I will kill you with my bare hands.
Sting. Where did you rank him? Where was he ranked in your top five?
Oh, he's my favorite.
Oh, my God.
Well, you asked.
Well, moving on.
But if you asked me as far as, honestly, who was a better wrestler, in my opinion, as in wrestling ability, I'd put Bret Hart on number one.
Well, see, it's such a subjective thing when you talk about top fives, and we might as well
Bret
talk
Sean
about
Blair.
Well, but when you talk about top fives, I mean, none of those people would have been known possibly without Hogan.
Then Ultimate Warrior.
No.
No, and you know what? I agree with that. And it goes back to the same thing, you know, people
and
crap.
And then you have to go back to Bruno.
We have to go back to Bruno because he made so many people.
And Gorgeous George before that.
Buddy Rogers.
Yeah.
Vern Gagne.
Well,
George Hackenschmidt.
Yeah, go back to George Hackenschmidt. I'm sorry, what was your point, Dan? I just wanted to get the Bruno love out.
I was saying at the same, I mean, Cena, I don't think we can hold Cena at the same level as Hogan at this point or ever. But as much as people crap on Hogan for not having ability, wrestling-wise, I have to disagree with that earlier on, number one. And number two, look how many people he made. Period. End of discussion.
He made a threat out of every fat guy out there. Akeem was a threat for the title. Kamala was a threat for the title.
Yokozuna.
Yokozuna won the title.
King Kong Bundy.
But Bundy. I mean, Bundy, we talked about Bundy.
The title, but then who won it 5 minutes later?
Well, yeah. But you know what I mean?
No, I agree with you. I just...
If I may, Dan, what delicious beverage are you enjoying tonight?
Water.
I heard it a few times. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's water mixed with orange meal.
Oh,
well. I was stirring it around. I was trying to do it off mic.
That's delicious.
It is delicious. I apologize. I won't do that again. I heard it was a favorite of Hulk Hogan's.
I thought that was Tang.
Was it Tang?
I don't know.
It was a form of Tang.
It was a form of Tang.
Oh, did you see what Chris did there?
I saw it. I heard. I didn't see. I imagine his hands did this.
I don't know what you...
No, I think once you started, you know, kicking out a one finishing move... Shut up, Dean. You started kicking out a one finishing move, it was just a matter of time before it kept happening and became more widespread to a point where 9 times out of 10, I don't believe, other than the Undertaker dropping the tombstone. No, see, not even that now.
Yeah,
you know
what? Didn't Triple H kick out of that last year?
Yeah, I was going to say, well, so did Michaels.
Yeah, Shawn did.
So I'll take that back. So even Undertaker, just because you see a finishing move doesn't mean it's the end of the match. Now, on one hand, I think that adds to it. See, I'm torn. On one end, I think it adds to it, like, well, that might not be it. But at the other hand, if he's dropping in the tombstone, that should be it. You know what I mean?
No, I agree. I agree if you said
so
it
I'm
up to that
on.
Point.
I'm torn on that. Like last night, especially on a Raw, it's not a pay-per-view. If he was doing the GTS, that was it. It's over. That should be the end of the match. You should have gone for it unless you were ending the match.
I agree. Yeah. I agree. That's my whole point. You know, I was talking. I was
Dean,
talking.
Real quick.
Sure. Oh, damn.
I'm done.
But I was talking to Salamander Jones this past week.
He's a gentleman and a scholar.
He is. And we were talking about super kicks. If you go to any independent show out there today, you'll see at least 15 super kicks before the night's over.
Right.
Over and over.
That's just to end a match for Shawn Michaels. Period. Super kick over.
Not anymore. And you know what? Now it's the indie kick because they slapped the leg, the thigh there.
Yeah, slapped the leg.
Slapped. There you go. It's not over. Not anymore, pal.
No.
Not over. So, Raw as a whole, or was it saved by this?
Yeah.
How about you, Omega?
It made an otherwise forgettable Raw memorable.
Yeah. Because if this match sucked, it would have been like, no. Nitro.
It was kind of bookended kind of decently.
Got my WCW. Right?
You know, with Lesnar and Triple H's beginning and Cena and Punk at the end.
Oh, don't get me started on this whole Triple H Brock thing.
This is the first time that I haven't given a damn about Triple H. And I was a big Triple H guy, but it's like,
Yeah, well, what about the newest inductee of the WWE Hall of Fame? Donald Trump. I mean, the same year that you get Trish Stratus, probably one of the best female wrestlers of all time. The same year you get Bruno finally in there. The same year you get Bob Backlund in there. Let's throw Donald Trump in there just to, you know, crap on the whole thing.
Crap on the whole thing. Thank you.
Allow me to metaphorically bang my head against my desk.
No, let me bang my head against the desk.
Yeah.
Now, why do you think, just because it's in the New Jersey, New York area?
Yeah, that's it.
Good. End of story.
I don't know why. Does anybody care? Does anybody care?
No, I don't care. In fact, I wish he'd die.
Wow.
Like the whole celebrity wing, does anybody care?
Here's my problem with Donald Trump. I was in Atlantic City this weekend. The man has billions and billions and billions of dollars, as Carl Sagan would have said. Have you been in his casino?
Which one? He has three.
Trump Plaza.
Yeah.
Left it in 1985. Left it in 1985.
Well, I think it has a certain charm.
Put some money back into it. Get some guys some jobs and fix that damn thing. I'm walking through and literally Invisible Touch played. I said, well, it's been on the same station since 1986, obviously.
Dan, I like the charm of Trent Plaza. The Showboat hasn't been updated. None of those.
The Showboat looks like kind of a showboat.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does. You have the Mardi Gras feel, not 1985 in your fake gold plated.
Oh, my God.
Everything that gold plated in there has dents in it.
I'm just saying, Dan, as a whole, I enjoy the...
Even this whole.
On the whole, yes. I enjoy that feel. Like resorts. I stayed at resorts for two nights. It was a magical time.
1990.
No, it was a magical time. And let's just say those rooms have not been updated in quite some time.
Well, maybe I'm just jaded because...
There was still a dead hooker there from 1984.
Before that macho man killed.
No, that was Jimmy Snuka.
Yeah. Yeah, Snuka appears somewhere.
You never heard that story, dude? About Snuka?
No, I know that story.
Okay.
That's why I don't know the thing and why you would have him there. And
well, let me just write this down for posterity's sake. Jimmy Snuka will never be coming on Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. Okay, go ahead.
Why? We had Tully Blanchard. He beat his wife.
Dan, okay, moving along.
Okay, then.
We should get Tully Blanchard to film our show.
Anyway, Dan.
Should I continue?
What was your point?
I forgot.
Before you went off on your tangent. What about you, Omega? We had a point somewhere along the line.
I forgot.
I forgot the point, too.
My point is Chump is a cheap tie-in for the New Jersey, New York thing, and who gives a damn, and I said he should die, and I take that back. I only wish death upon one person. He holds cameras.
I will guarantee that Donald Trump will not sell a single extra
person. No, I don't think. And why? Why is he being inducted yet Macho Man is not inducted?
I think that goes back to Lanny Poffo's insistence that they go in as a family. Angelo Poffo, Lanny Poffo, and...
Are we rated right now? This
what?
Episode? Are we rated or for explicit or family?
It's everyone, Dan, so please. It's always rated everyone, so...
F Lanny Poffo! Who F'd him?
It's his next of kin, Dan.
Whatever. I don't care if it's his next kid.
Apparently, that was Angelo's and Randy's wishes.
I want everybody to etch in my hands. Lanny Poffo down here, Macho Man up here, and Vince runs the WWE. I said, Pally, we should put in Macho Man. There. End of story. He made a decision.
Well, no. You have to. It has to go by the people. You know? I'm more upset about Honky Tonk Man not being in, frankly.
He sucks!
Oh, come on. The longest reigning Intercontinental Champion of all time, Dan. Longest reigning. Omega, how do you feel?
About what? About Lanny
Honky,
Poffo?
No, about Honky Tonk Man being in the Hall of Fame.
No, I think he needs to be in the Hall of Fame.
I think so.
I agree. I don't see how you get a guy who's that visible in the 80s.
Yeah,
you know, he was pretty much one of those characters that was ubiquitous with WWF that you can't
during that era. Yeah,
during that era. I mean, I don't see why he's not in the Hall of Fame other than the general politics of it, which is there's no legitimate reason to put him in there on a wrestling basis.
I certainly agree. So, guys, we're going to wrap up this section of it. Let's just call it potpourri.
All right,
potpourri. I like that.
It was a fresh-smelling segment, and it was funny.
Eh, well, you know, it is what it is. But what we're going to move into right now is the Mystery Men.
Ever asking to ever come back on?
No, the Mystery Men, Dan.
We got fresh stuff, don't we?
No, not yet.
Oh, damn it.
But we will. This is Set Your Phasers to Miles Davis by the Mystery Men, and we'll be back after this short break.
I want to introduce to you, from a very, very far away land, on the other side of the planet,
our Japanese bass player,
from Yakamoto, Japan, please put your hands together for Mr. Akira Tozawa!
Because he's awesome.
This song
I said it's for you.
Is called... Set Your Phaser to Miles Davis.
Miles Davis. Oh, Miles Davis.
Thank you.
Thank you for letting us shower you with golden showers of phaser.
All right, that was the Mystery Men, of course, with Set Your Phasers to Miles Davis.
Woo!
Yeah, I'll tell you that. I really like them. I don't care what anybody else has to say about it. It's what I like. Yeah, certainly. I don't know. Some people, blah, blah. Who are those guys? You know what? That's why Fast Forward was made, as Jay-Z would say. If you don't like my what I'm saying, hit Fast Forward, son.
I'm sure people are constantly fast-forwarding through my UFC talk.
You know, one Slim Burgundy told me that he does, and it kind of hurt my feelings. Because I think we do a very good job with our UFC breakdowns. And you know what, Omega? That's what we're going to get into right now after this. All right, so UFC 157 is in the history books. We're going to get into the co-main event, I do believe. And I have Fight Metric to back me up on my end of the story. I don't know about you, sir. I don't know about you. So let's start with the preliminaries. Brandon Schaub, LeVar Johnson, bit of a snoozer.
Oh, that was boring. That was bad.
The fans were certainly upset at that one.
Yeah, there was plenty to be upset about. you know, you expected this to be a little bit of a... You could have gone either way. You would have thought that Schaub would have been more aggressive with the ground and pound in taking LeVar Johnson out. But he just kind of laid and prayed.
Yeah, he did. My goodness.
And you knew once Johnson got to the ground that he wasn't going to do anything there. So
yeah.
He has no ground game to speak of. So it was just Brendan Schaub controlling and laying on LeVar Johnson for three rounds. It was a bad fight.
Is that smart strategy on Schaub's part? I mean, he won. Apparently you win by having a boring fight.
It's wins and losses. Yes, he wins. Will that win get him off the preliminary card next time?
Oh, goodness, no.
Hell no. It probably is unlikely he will even headline the preliminary card next time.
Oh,
that's
goodness.
The kind of fight he's going to put up.
Yeah, he might be on Facebook next time.
Yeah, I mean, there's, you know, wins and losses count, and wins and losses will keep you in the UFC. But they're not going to endear you to the crowd or endear you to employers and get you prime real estate on the TV. I mean, it's more complicated than that. A win is a win, and he gets to move on. But you know, with that kind of performance, you're not going to get a elite fighter either. You're not going to move up in competition.
Certainly not.
There's just no reason. I mean, you still have to be aggressive. You still have to put on entertaining fights.
And that was far from entertaining. However, on the flip side of things, Dennis Bermudez defeated Matt Grice, was it?
Matt Grice. What a great fight.
That split was a decision. Back and forth affair.
Back and forth. Yeah, that was
fight
just,
of the night.
Potential fight of the year. You know, it's early.
It is early. It is February.
It is early. But that was one of those fights that will go down as one of those fights you would want someone to see, you know, if you're introducing him to MMA. That was just back and forth action for three rounds. Bermudez, Grice, both showing resilience, toughness, skills. The striking got a little sloppy towards the end, but you know it was an exciting fight all the way. I tend to agree with the decision. I thought Bermudez did enough to win the fight, but it was a great fight all around, and Grice certainly
did not lose any reputation.
Oh, certainly not.
In defeat. That those are the type of fights that Dana White loves.
Oh, Dana White was smiling ear to ear talking about that fight when he gave out the bonuses. He was happy as anything. I think Dana White, you know, Dana White is like the what's the word I'm looking for? I can't think of the word. But he would be like not the perfect boss, but he praises really good performances.
Mm-hmm.
And he's really harsh when he needs to be. Even you know, if you disagree with the guy about Fitch, which didn't make much sense, we'll get into that too. But
yeah, he rarely sings the praises of a prize. He rarely tries to spin a bad fight.
Well, true.
He usually calls it right down and says that was a bad fight, and that happens sometimes.
He didn't have much to say about the co-main event, but we'll get to that as well. Anything else on that preliminary card that you liked?
On the Facebook card, you see Kenny Robinson defeating Brock Jardine with a knee bar.
Yes. That was submission of the night. Yeah.
Submission of the night. It was a very interesting fight. It was an interesting knee bar submission.
He just stretched it.
Yeah.
He just reached around, grabbed it, and grabbed it.
Yeah, he just kind of had his hooks in and just kind of grabbed the ankle and pulled until it was just extended and was pressing up, you know, was going the wrong direction. It didn't break, but it obviously hurt because Jardine was writhing in pain after the tap. So that was impressive. I've never seen that particular submission before.
Neither did Rogan. Rogan was very glowing after that, saying that, thank you for showing me that. You know?
Yeah, that was interesting. Now, it'll be interesting to see if he can do it again.
How do you defend it, really? I mean, if a guy just grabs you and wrenches your knee, you're out of luck.
I don't know how you defend it, but it was it doesn't seem like something that you would normally get in that position to pull off.
Yeah, I guess it was just in hard enough, and there you go.
He deliberately went for it, so he was, you know, it wasn't like he just kind of popped into his hands and he just kind of went with it. He actually reached for the leg and went and pulled it. So,
you
know,
he said it was deliberate. He said he learned it, in wrestling or something?
Something like that.
Yeah, it was a wrestling move that he brought over, so.
Yeah, cool.
Whatever works. So then the pay-per-view proper starts. Robbie Lawler defeating Josh Koscheck, first round TKO. And at the time, I thought it was a little early. I thought Herb Dean called it a bit early, but no, he didn't.
I still think he called it early.
I think he woke him up with another few punches there.
Well,
I think he was out, and I think he woke him up.
I can see that argument. I think Koscheck was just, in my opinion, Koscheck just chose to eat a couple punches.
You think?
I think he did. You know, I can completely see your point. You know, from how he took the punches, you could easily say that he was out and he woke up with those last one or two punches. But you know, it's hard to say, and you would hope that the ref would err on the side of caution, and that's probably what he did.
I agree. I mean, Herb Dean, I think I made the joke at the time that, you know, does he have any kids because he likes to stop things prematurely.
Yeah.
But, you know, after I saw the replay, I really thought that Koscheck was out. But this is a big win for Robbie Lawler coming over from Strikeforce.
Yeah, and a second or third stint with UFC? He really needed to have a win to keep his job. Especially since he was coming off a loss out of Strikeforce. It's a good win for him. But he's had such struggles lately. It's hard to say what he's got coming down the pike. You know, Koscheck is not the Koscheck of old. You know, Koscheck has been on his way down in recent months as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you wonder if,
you know, was this just a fluke? Was this just two guys kind of at the tail end of their careers? One of them had to win, you know? I'm not sure that especially with the way the fight ended, I'm not sure it really gains Lawler anything too much out of it, other than he gets to keep his job for at least one more fight.
Yeah, and who would you put Robbie Lawler against?
Oh, I don't know. There's any number of welterweights down at that bottom end that you could probably throw him up against, you know. Yeah, I don't know. I can't think of anybody off the top of my head, but I'm sure there's some guys.
Now, next fight, Court McGee defeated Josh Neer. Unanimous decision. What did you think of that fight? I thought the second round was probably the best round of that fight.
Second round was definitely the best round of that fight. I thought Court McGee looked really good against Josh Neer, who I would consider a lower-tier fighter at welterweight. This was McGee's first fight at welterweight. It looks like he didn't suffer any from the weight cut. Looked good. Lots of volume striking. Lots of good level changes. Smart fighting with the body shots and mixing up the body shots and the head shots. Couple takedowns. Leg kicks. He mixed it all up really well and showed some broad skills. You know, is a better fighter than Neer, who is just kind of a punching bag kind of guy who, you know, will get knocked. He'll knock out a few guys, but he's never been an elite fighter.
Yeah.
He's only been knocked out a couple times. He's just one of those guys that just can take a punch and will generally put on a decent fight. So that's why he's still around. I think, like I said, McGee looked good. I think he has earned another fight at welterweight. Give him a step up. Again, I'm not sure who it would be off the top of my head, but you know, there's any number of welterweights in that division he could go up against.
I heard Kim,
Dong Young Kim.
Yeah,
assuming he gets past whoever he's fighting this weekend. He is fighting Sayara Bahadzaruda. Bahazirada. I forgot that. Really hard name.
I tell you.
Yeah, that guy.
I tell you, those names sometimes. They
just say Smith.
Yeah.
Or Jones or something.
Jones, that guy. Actually, win or lose, I can see that fight happening, honestly.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that's an obvious fight to have. Now, the next fight. Uriah Faber, Menjivar, and probably one of the most masterful things I've ever seen someone do, a crucifix into a body lock into a standing rear naked choke for the submission.
That was nice, wasn't it?
Yes.
That was beautiful. That was really, I mean, Rogan made it sound like Faber was a monkey, and that's kind of what it looked like.
It certainly did.
You know, Menjivar was initiated the takedown earlier in the round with a good head drag, and then Faber just immediately reversed it and then started going for ground and pound and submissions.
It was really a clinic by Faber.
It was very – you could see how good a wrestler Faber is. You could see how strong he is at bantamweight. Oof. You can see when he's healthy how dangerous he can be.
Mm-hmm.
That transition when Menjivar got up from, like I said, the crucifix to body lock, brilliant, looked really good. Can he do that against the top fighters? Can he do that against Henan Brow? Can he do that against Dominic Cruz? That's the question.
I don't think something like that.
No. Well, can he do anything, you know?
Well, I'll be honest. The first Cruz fight in UFC, I thought he won. I had him on the scorecard, but we'll get into more controversy later.
Yeah.
Actually, next.
Next!
Now, the co-main event, of course, was Lyoto Machida, who is auditioning for Dancing with the Stars after this.
Oh, that's cute.
Taking on Dan Henderson. And, of course, Machida won. Split decision, 28-29, 29-28, and 29-28. I had 30-27 for Henderson. I didn't see anything that Machida particularly did, except for one takedown, the entire fight. At the end of the round, that really meant nothing, but apparently it was important enough in the judges' eyes. Let's take a look. Let's go to Fight Metric for total strikes. Henderson landed 54 total strikes to Machida's 28.
How many of those were leg strikes?
16.
So there's a good chunk of those leg strikes.
Yeah, 16 were legs. 29 really body shots.
So he really beat the crap out of his legs.
Well, and his
Not
body.
Not really. I mean, 16, there wasn't a lot of strikes thrown in this entire fight that landed. Relatively speaking, Court McGee landed like 200 in his fight. you know?
Wait, Dean, was this the fight you were telling me about the other night?
Probably.
The one where, you know, his fight.
Oh, yes, yes.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, okay. Yeah, that makes perfect sense now. Continue.
So, but 54 total strikes. Significant strikes. Machida did win 27-20.
I can just see your impression of it.
Yeah. But 54 total strikes. Machida did a hit more to the head. He doubled. He had 18 head strikes to 9. But I don't know. I don't know.
It comes down, in my mind, to the significant strikes. You know, and we're talking 54 total strikes by Henderson, 28. You know, we're talking 82 total strikes between two guys over 15 minutes. That's ridiculously low.
Well, yeah. But that's Machida. And I think they were both tentative. I really do. I think they knew a lot was on the line in this fight. And neither one wanted to get knocked out. But Henderson still took a few shots that possibly would have knocked out someone.
Well, that front kick in the end of the third round there probably would have knocked out a lot of guys.
Yeah, but Henderson's just like, okay, I'll smile at you.
Yeah, and Henderson, nobody doubts Henderson's toughness.
You know? He's just like, whatever.
Yeah.
You know,
it was just, it was, Henderson had no real answer for Machida's elusiveness, and Machida just didn't seem to want to engage, at least significantly. He was happy to get the few counters that he did and make it, he got the significant strikes. He fought the fight to not lose. And he made the big moves when he needed it. He got that takedown. I think that takedown was probably enough to sway the judges in Machida's favor in the first round.
Oh, that takedown, come on. It meant nothing.
Well, but it meant nothing when nothing else happened.
Yeah.
You know, in the context of that round where nothing very much happened except a few Machida counters.
Then I'm going with who was controlling the pace. That entire first round, it was Henderson going forward, trying to engage, and Machida dancing away.
But this wasn't a Caleb Starnes, Nate Quarry thing where Caleb Starnes was just running. It was
pretty damn close.
No, it wasn't. It was anywhere near close.
He was doing the jumping jack, getting away. Come on.
That there's a difference between running away and intelligent evasion. Machida was doing intelligent evasion. That's what he always does.
Fancy.
That's what he's done for years. And
it reminded me. Look. It reminded me of when I didn't like Machida, and that was going back to the Tito Ortiz fight, because that whole fight. I mean, Tito Ortiz didn't handle it as well as Henderson. I mean, you could tell that Tito was very, frustrated in that fight. But, I mean, he just didn't do anything. This isn't the new Machida that we've been talking about that is dangerous, that can knock you out with a strike. It was going back to the old Machida game style.
I agree with that. I agree with that. This was a step backwards for
mm-hmm.
Machida in terms of
aggressiveness.
Excitement. In terms of excitement, in terms of aggressiveness, in terms of being a finisher, in terms of being someone that I want to pay $50 to watch, I completely agree there. You know, but we can sit there and argue whether or not his style is effective. That's his style, and it's always been his style. We shouldn't be surprised if Machida spends most of a fight dodging.
So frustrating, damn it.
It's like somebody not getting a joke you tell.
Not quite, man.
No?
No. All right. No, not at all.
I was trying.
Yeah, again.
Yeah, you know.
So
I'm not a quitter.
We're going to disagree on that.
That's fine.
No, I'm talking to Omega.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. We're all disagreeing tonight. I quit.
We're all...
So we'll have to disagree on that. I found that he did enough to control the pace the entire fight. The third round was especially his after that takedown.
I think the third round was Henderson's, yes. That first couple minutes was certainly Henderson's, and there was nothing at the end of that round to make me think that Machida did enough to overturn that.
And my point about the first round, which I get, like I said when I brought up this fight, was I think that takedown in the first round in the eyes of the judges was enough to win that round. And it blows my mind.
Well, I mean, there was at least one judge that agreed that with you that Henderson won, although he didn't give it to him 30-27.
Well, yeah, I did 30-27. Like I said, I can see the second round. I can see the second round going to Machida because that definitely was, even by fightmetrics.com. That second round, significant strikes 11-6, total strikes 11-7.
Yeah.
Head strikes 7-3. Body 4-1, and well.
Just when you say head strike 7-3, after one head strike, I quit.
Nothing, you know? Guys do. They keep
going.
Oh
my God! And don't hit me anymore, please.
But he had a few head strikes that were really significant too. I mean, there were some. He did a few side kicks out of nowhere because he's a karate practitioner. First, that's his style.
Right. Yeah.
And he had a few kicks that, if they landed flat, well, not to Henderson, but I don't know.
Jeez.
But the second round was definitely, I would go back and probably change it to 29-28, but still I would go to Henderson. Because even significant strikes in that first round, 12-10.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think, you know, I can completely see where you would go with Henderson in the first round. I don't actually. I mean, I think I could see that first round going either way. I don't really see second round going to Machida, and I don't really see the third round. Or I don't really see the second round not going to Machida, and I don't really see the third round not going to Henderson.
Yeah.
So it's that wherever you landed on that first round, and you know, I thought Machida did enough.
Yeah, and in the eyes of the judges, you know what? Don't let it go to the judges. But I think Dan was really trying to press forward and connect, and if a few of those did connect. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Because you could tell he was really trying to land that right hand, the overhand right, of course, the H-bomb.
Yeah.
I was hoping. I was like, come on, let this one. And I saw him, you know, because he not that he telegraphs it, but you know when he's going to throw it, and he just, if he landed with one, it would have been great. But where do you go from here? Machida, who's he got next? Well, he got the title shot. That's what Dana said. Dana White said in the So that's where Machida goes. He gets the winner of John Jones and Sonnen.
That's what you got to think. You got to think that he gets that.
He didn't sound too happy about it either. I think he was backed into a corner because he said it was a title eliminator, like the Thursday before the fight. And then, you know, they asked him. They said, "Do you think with the performance he still gets it?" And White's like, "I said it was, didn't I?" So
yeah. I mean, we've seen that change before. If Alexander Gustafsson puts on a show here soon, you can completely see it getting to that. But the other question is, what happens if John Jones wins? They're talking about making this Anderson Silva fight.
Are they seriously considering that?
They're talking about it at 190 pounds.
Oh, wow.
You know.
Do you think Jones can get down to 190? He's a big guy.
He's not that big, though.
He would look sickly at 190.
He would probably be.
I would write the screenplay to Philadelphia too if I saw him at that weight.
I mean, I would go. You know, I heard 190. It could be. It could be 195. That's what they're talking about, like in August.
Philadelphia.
Dan, please.
But if you think, but if that's what you think, if that's what's going to happen, then when Machida's stuck. Because they're going to make that super fight, so Machida's stuck for, you know, is he going to wait for Jones?
Well, waiting.
Do that stupid thing again?
Well, some guys
I'd rather
do.
Not. I'd rather see if that's going to be the case. If Jones is going to fight Silva, then you match up. Assuming Gustafson wins, you match up Gustafson and Machida.
Yeah.
You know, we need title eliminator and go for it.
I agree. Dan Henderson, where does he go?
Dan Henderson, you know, he's dropped down the rankings a little bit from that fight.
Unfortunately.
Maybe another fighter coming off a loss like Rashad Evans.
I've heard that talk. Well, not heard it, but I've read that. That is a serious consideration.
Now, granted, neither of those two guys had a very exciting fight in the last fights.
Well, I could certainly see Dan Henderson connecting and putting out Rashad Evans.
I could see that happening, too.
And I would love to see it, because Rashad Evans likes to talk trash, and Dan would rather finish it in the octagon.
Yep.
That's what I say. Now, the main event was very exciting. Carmouche almost pulled off an upset that probably would have left UFC scrambling. Because that fight started, both of them were very aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
Carmouche gets the back.
Yep.
Gets a vicious neck crank. Actually, left teeth marks on Carmouche's.
Whoa.
Not on Rousey's arm, rather.
Jeez.
On Carmouche's arm from Rousey's teeth.
Yes, that's what it was. Yes, yeah. I knew it was something.
Yeah.
But my God, almost pulled it off. What do you think Dana White and company were thinking? Silva, Dana White, what do you think everybody was thinking at that moment?
We're getting paid.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Because the thing about it is in the run-up to this fight, Carmouche became a really good star for them. They have a really good story they can tell. They told a story with Rousey, former Olympian, former bronze medalist, first woman, in
the
UFC.
The champion, story of her father.
Her father, all that stuff. Great drama there.
Her mother.
Her mother, exactly. She's got a great story. But Liz Carmouche also had a good story.
Yes.
And Liz Carmouche makes being a former Marine, not having a lot of money, And her sexuality gives her that story you can tell. With her, she could have easily made money for them. Are they going to make as much money with Rousey as they were with Rousey? Probably not. But they had an out there.
Yeah.
Granted, I think to your point though, there had to be at least a little bit of nervousness saying we built Rousey up, and she just got beat by a girl who hasn't beat anybody with a winning record.
Yeah. But then again, they're both very young in their MMA careers. And Rousey was even saying during the countdown specials that I might only have seven, professional fights, but I've had thousands of judo matches. Thousands.
Right. Exactly.
So that's a big difference. So the experience, and Rousey is just an incredible athlete, and she pulled off the win again with armbar. Masterful, yet again.
Patient. She was very patient, waited for the right time to do it. I really think she's just trying to make a statement there in that middle step where she had Carmouche down and was just kind of pounding her in the face.
Oh, with the headlock, yeah.
I think she was trying to say, look, I don't have to go for the armbar. I can keep you down here and I can just pound on you for a while. I don't know if she was trying to finish it. Part of me thinks she was trying to intentionally ground and pound Carmouche out to try to say I'm not only arm bars, but then when the first round was coming to an end and she got the opportunity, she said, "Well, I'm just going to take it now,"
yeah.
And she did it, because she's more her legend continues at that case in that time.
Do you think if Carmouche knew that? Well, she even said Carmouche in the post fight said, "If I knew." It was that close to the end of the round, I would have let her break my arm so I could go to the second.
Yeah.
Said it in the post fight. She was very close. I mean, when did it end? I'll take a look right here. Go ahead and talk. But
well, I don't know. I mean, it's easy to say up until a point where your arm is bent like that.
It was 4:49. She had 11 seconds. It's almost like St. Pierre and Hughes.
And Hughes, yeah. it was, I think she might have, yeah, if she'd known, if it was 1 second later, she might have tried to hang out.
Oh, yeah, because you got the tap. Yeah, you got the sticks or whatever the hell it is. What is that sound? What is, you know, I don't know.
It's not me, guys.
It's like sticks. It's kind of like a, I don't know.
Kendo sticks slapping against the.
Yeah, they're like, they make that sound, yeah.
That's what I assume, but I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
I didn't know if you knew. But I don't know. But
I think it differs. I think it differs from place to place. But I think they're generally like two sticks with maybe a hollowed out middle, potentially.
Yeah. Just to let them know that 10 seconds is left. Now, of course, Rousey is most likely going to go up against the winner of Tate. So I'm just going to say it's Tate. So we're. Gonna
I wouldn't
see,
say that.
I'm going to say it.
Kat Zingano is no joke. There's plenty to be made in Misha Tate rematch with.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, of course, last year at this time it was March 2nd. It was March 2nd that they had their first fight, Rousey and Tate. So I'd love to see it again. And I think that's what UFC would kind of want to go toward.
Well, the interesting thing, the one thing that was missing from the run up to the first fight with them. Is the UFC marketing machine.
Yeah.
They did not put the kind of marketing behind that fight. I mean, there was plenty of marketing from Showtime's side. But you can take Misha Tate and Ronda Rousey, do a primetime, do a countdown, all kinds of trash talk running up to that fight.
Oh, and they don't like each other.
And these are two beautiful women.
And you talk about somebody who let her elbow go into a different hemisphere. That was Tate.
Yeah.
She did not want to tap.
Yeah, she was. Yeah, she did not want to tap at all. And that's, you know, great story for another round. The question becomes, you know, can you sell it? Because Misha Tate got her arm utterly destroyed in that first fight. So I think Tate needs a really convincing win over Zingano in April.
Well, how many women do they have right now? They have five that are signed, right? Sarah McMahon's another.
I think they have six or seven. They have Rousey, Tate, Zingano, Julie Kedzie, Sarah Kaufman.
And McMahon.
Sarah McMahon and then Jermaine Durandami.
Oh, okay.
How do you pronounce her name? I think somebody else, too.
Okay, yeah. I thought it was.
There's a few of them. And they could always, you know, there's not. If they want to go raid Invicta, they'll do so.
Oh yeah,
you know,
easily.
So,
yeah, there's plenty of talent out there, actually.
At least in this division. I mean, the question becomes when do they decide to expand the next division?
I don't know. It really depends on the success of these first couple of fights in the UFC. I think so,
but you know, the early numbers for the pay-per-view are 400,000 buys.
Now, is that Brock Lesnar numbers or no?
That is not Brock Lesnar numbers. I mean, I think Brock Lesnar's last fight was like 550,000 or something like that.
Well, he had over a million, right?
He had over a million.
I think for the Carwin fight. Or yeah. No, UFC 100, right?
UFC 100 was over a million.
Well, that was just a stacked card, though. They don't do that too often.
Yeah. No, but you think about this fight with Rousey, you think you had a fairly sizable. There was a lot of trepidation about will a woman being on the top of this card sell pay-per-views, and 400,000 is better than most of the recent cards.
Yeah,
and they're doing around, I think they're averaging around 250,000.
Yeah, typical like 200,000, 250. Yeah.
Yeah, without like Anderson Silva or GSP on it, you know, that's what they're kind of averaging.
I still don't get why GSP is that much of a draw. He just doesn't excite me.
I don't know either, but. I don't know. My neighbor across the street likes him because he's a nerdy Canadian.
Oh.
She's just into him. I don't know. But
GSP, eh?
GSP, eh? Yeah.
I'll tell you what. We'll talk more about Dana White and John Fitch. What I want to do now, though, changing gears, I want to go back in time right now, and I have a very special edition of fan mail that I called from... The ashes of time, I guess. Robert Knight, of course, had his fan mail segment on here weekly.
I miss you, Robert.
And Dan, I mean, those fan mail segments were probably some of the best segments we ever did.
I agree.
I mean, if you had
some great things were spoken, some great things were said, some truths were always let out.
But we were saying during the week, we did have an opportunity to actually do something outside of the realm of wrestling and all this stuff. And we were sitting down having dinner, and I think we both agreed that if there was a bad segment previous to fan mail, you could always count on fan mail to change the course, right?
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. If there was ever somebody who stood us up or an interview that was like, breakers, we'd always have fan mail to turn it around.
Oh, my goodness. And, of course, that led to Breaker's Epic Christmas.
Very
such
epic.
Such a good time.
So charismatic.
But we're going to go through the mist of time. We'll be back after this very special. And I will say that this edition of fan mail is very special to me, and you'll find out why probably about, I think, when the first caller calls in. During this. So we'll have some fun looking back, and we'll talk about it after we get done listening to it. Robert, what brings you back this week? I know we have some fan mail we're going to get to, but do you have anything you wanted to talk about for us all?
Yeah, me being the hottest commodity in New Moon Rising Wrestling, the board of directors, who I still have yet to meet, have contacted me through my car and asked me to come on your show today and let everybody know about the little contest we have going. Actually, it's a big contest we have going. We're actually looking for someone to join our broadcast team. So if you check out New Moon Rising Wrestling's group page or the fan page on Facebook, you'll get all the information you need. And this is for anybody. Does not have to be somebody who's in the business. This could be for a fan out there who sits at home and does commentary, or for a guy who sits in an imaginary booth and does commentary in his mind. You can send in a recording of yourself doing commentary for a match, and you could end up on the New Moon Rising Wrestling broadcast team for our internet show, which is going to drop very, very soon.
So basically all they have to do is call commentary on this match that's posted on the group page, send in the MP3 file to the email address provided, and they could very well be part of the commentary team.
That's it, and we're looking for somebody to join the commentary team. And, I mean, it's a heck of a match that they put up there. This is Justin America in a grueling one-on-one knockdown drag-out with Magnum XL from one of New Moon Rising Wrestling's first shows. And if you can lay the commentary down for, I mean, this is a WrestleMania feel to this match. And if you can lay down the commentary for this, you will be selected. The best person will be selected to join the broadcast team.
That sounds like a great opportunity for a fan, for someone in the business, for whoever it may be.
And then just letting everybody know how much of a hero I am, New Moon Rising Wrestling has asked me to promote this, and I'm actually getting ousted from my job. If you recall, there was a little feature called Robert Knight's Nightcap, where I highlighted a few of the previous shows that we've done. So I'm actually kicked out of the broadcast team, and I'm such a nice guy that I'm on here letting everybody know how they can join it.
That is, that shows that one man can make a difference.
Right? It is. That's a hero. That is a 2.5-hour beefcake hunk hero right there.
Now, Robert, I do have someone special. They are indicating they want to talk. This is actually John from In the Room. It's a Brady Hicks show.
Oh, boy.
And, John, are you there with us?
I am here. What is up?
Okay. I would like to ask you something very special. I know I asked you plenty of times last night to sing a song for us. Can you sing a song with Knight Rider?
I'm so sorry.
I don't know how to do that one.
How about Robert? Can you do Robert?
With some particular song, I don't hear that much, but soon, like next week, I promise I will get one.
Okay, by next week, I'm going to hold you to that. I'm going to hold you to that.
For the record, I'm not.
I also have Brady Hicks. I believe he wants to chat. So, Brady, welcome to Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. How are you?
Thanks so much. John is not part of In the Room, but he is a regular caller, and I love him.
What a smack in the face.
We all love John. John's a great guy. Robert, what do you think about all this craziness going on right now?
Well, all of this craziness with what? With being able to do commentary for New Moon Rising? I'm getting the resume ready.
Oh, no, you're going to go for it now.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be awesome. And you know what? This was a highlight for me. You know, since I lost my virginity 6 weeks... I'm only kidding. It wasn't 6 weeks ago.
Yeah, right. It was six hours ago.
I'm Facebook friends with Robert Knight. How awesome is that?
That's right. Kid told me that we had a request coming today, and I told Kid to accept it immediately.
Oh, thank you so much, man. I am so honored.
My pleasure.
Oh, so Knight Rider. So what are you trying to do? You're trying to get in good with the Knight Rider here?
Well, what do you mean get in good? I wanted to be his friend on Facebook. I wanted to be part of the privileged few. I mean, he's only got 5,000, and then it goes away.
Yeah, that's true.
That's very true. And like, not including the people that defriended him because of recent events.
Yeah, that
exactly.
Is, yeah.
I don't want to steal Dean's thunder with that, though.
Yes, triple D. So,
better than two.
John, do you have a question for the Knight Rider?
I was going for the show. I didn't know you had him on. I missed it.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. Well, John, I'm going to put you back on hold.
Thanks for nothing.
I might get back to you. You never know. Okay. So
he came on. He gave me no song, no question, no nothing. Thanks, pal.
Listen, Dean doesn't usually make bad decisions, but sometimes you just want to punch him in the face.
I love that guy. I really do. Now, Brady, do you have anything you want to ask the Knight Rider? I mean, this is your moment. You're Facebook fans now, friends.
I'm so honored. I don't have a question. I don't have a song. I'm sorry, man. I just wanted to say that John is not part of In the Room. And just leave it at that and just say that I'm humbled to be on the line with the Knight Rider.
You know what? He may be part of In the Room based on a private discussion we were having earlier, Brady. Anyway,
you know what? I actually think he would be perfect to be Captain Dave's broadcast copy. I mean, he's ready. He's not. He's in the room, and Captain Dave is in the booth. I mean, you get those two guys together, and magic happens.
In the head.
It's all in their head. So, Brady, thanks for calling in and joining us. I certainly appreciate it.
Thank you, Dean. Take care.
Okay, so that was the illustrious Brady Hicks, podcaster extraordinaire.
Illustrious is a word for it.
Now, Robert, we do have some fan mail.
Excellent.
To dig into. I apologize for all that.
I apologize for adding absolutely nothing for the last one.
Now, here's the first one.
All right.
And it goes something like this. And again, it looks like it was sent from Uganda. So it says Knight. So a commentator, cool. Moose Ken, I will send mine. Maybe then we know. You like it then? Talk about time for when hardcore that. And it's simply signed Mad Moose.
You know, I'm going to assume, based on the previous weeks, that letter is from the Madman. I mean, we're saying that the contest is open to everybody. I don't know how he found out about it. I guess he's got some inside scoop there. You know, maybe there was a message in the bottom of a bottle. But for the Madman, you send in that, you know, that 8-track, and you get it in to the right people, and maybe we'll just check it out, and maybe we'll have you join the broadcast team. I mean, I'm not sure if you guys know this or not, but he was actually working security and had his own gimmick table set up. So a broadcast table is not that far off.
I didn't know who he was, you know, when I started going to New Moon. And
you
he was
still
this,
don't.
He was this big fat guy that would just stumble to the ring and, like, lean on it for a while, blocking my view. And then, like, stumble back and, I got a message from him, actually, in May. And he was like, I got long. Oh, my God. He goes, I have a long career. You should get me on. your show. What the hell is this? But anyway, that's neither here nor there. Madman Moose.
I'm surprised he put two sentences together there.
He had to have help with that one.
I was going to say, and how did he know there was a contest? I didn't know he could read.
Oh, my goodness. I wasn't sure either. Now, Dan, I believe you have the second fan.
I'm pretty much dead. I know it. This one, ironically, is about the same subject. Hi, Robert. Welcome once again to NMRW-TV. I am your host, Captain Dave. Robert Knight and I will be in the broadcast booth, as always. I can't wait to hear who will be with me in the booth giving my play-by-play color commentary. What should I do for the rest of the night, Captain Dave?
Oh, man. I mean, I'm not sure exactly what he should do with the rest of the night, but, I mean, you know, I read every day that he's doing his color commentary and he's in the broadcast booth. So, Captain Dave, I'm sure you're listening. You know, send in your entry just like everybody else, and maybe you can be side-by-side with yourself in the broadcast booth that you're already in every day doing commentary for New Moon Rising Wrestling TV.
I just want to know where these matches are. Like, wait, I thought, like, are they in a basement somewhere? Like, what's going on?
I mean, I don't know. I don't even have an answer for it. I've had Kit looking. Even Kit comes up with nothing when we try to find out what's going on there.
That's when you know you're screwed.
Exactly.
I legit thought he'd do something I didn't know, and then I was like, oh, never mind.
You haven't had the pleasure to meet Captain Dave in person.
I don't think I have.
But you will, Dan. One day that magical meeting will take place for you.
I
was actually on hand for Captain Dave's first meeting with Tank Tolan at a couple shows back for New Moon Rising Wrestling. And honest to God, he walks in the door and he had a sign or something, like a bag with him. He puts everything down. He walks right over to John. He wraps his arms around him and hugs him and tells him how great it is to see him again. You know, John shakes his hand, says, great to see you, this and that. Dave walks away, and John looks at me and says, who in the hell was that guy? It was unbelievable. I mean, I thought he knew him from years back. He was like maybe a long-lost cousin or something, the way he approached him. But, I mean, that's Captain Dave, and that is passion for our business, and those are the fans that keep New Moon Rising Wrestling going.
You know, it's really true. As much as we talk about Captain Dave, as much as we have fun with him, kick the piss out of him, whatever, he is really a passionate fan, and I want to make that clear. I think
he is. I mean, he's been there since the very first show that we've had, and, you know, he's there front row for every show. He's,
yeah.
You know, he's bought one of the signed 8x10s, and there's still a few of those left.
By the way.
Sounds good.
I'm
still running a special. I had a special for Labor Day where I'm selling them for $5 or 2 for $10. So that special is still going to continue for the rest of the week. It's a Labor Day special.
Oh, you know what? I'm going to buy one. You can sign one for my girlfriend, Kelly.
Sounds good.
Okay, now, Robert, I do believe I have a rival, I guess I could say, if I can pull him up here. Let's see.
Oh, this ought to be earth-shattering.
Now, American Roughneck, are you on the line with us?
Oh, boy.
How you doing tonight, Apostrophe D?
Oh, stop it. Now, you're on the line with Robert Knight. What do you got to say?
What I got to say, Robert, watch out. I'm coming. It's coming. That belt's coming with me. There's no argument, no discussion. The U.S. Championship, in PG-13 or whatever you want to pull, is leaving that arena with me.
Listen, pal, the belt has been mine since the 2.5-hour battle royal. I've said it time and time again, and you know, you keep talking about coming out here and taking my U.S. title. You're forgetting one thing. This is professional wrestling. This isn't man versus food. You don't have a chance against me, pal.
Man versus food. That's funny, because the only thing I'll be feeding you is your pride.
Hmm.
Listen, I don't think there's a plate big enough to hold my pride. And are you calling from the bedroom? Because I know you were up late last night, pal. You can't do that two nights in a row. I know you're on the floor somewhere.
I am sitting at the New Moon Rising Arena, outside, waiting for you.
Well, you know what? That's kind of creepy, but I have an idea. I was listening to a guy that was on before me. I'm not sure who he was, but he gave me a good idea. I think before I beat you in the New Moon Rising Wrestling Arena, I'm going to throw you in Kit's trunk. I'm going to drive you down to Delaware and put you through some barbed wire. How does that sound?
I thought you were going to have that guy John sing me a song.
Yeah, you and him together probably can't get a tune of Yankee Doodle out.
Just watch. Just watch, Robert. That belt is coming back to the people.
We'll see. And stop using pictures of my belt in your flyers, too. I saw that. I'm going to press legal action against you.
Oh,
that belt
rough.
Is not yours. You're only holding it. Matter of fact, I'll send you some polish because when I want it back, I want it clean.
All right. Well, I got news for you. The same polish you use on your cranium doesn't work on a championship belt.
We'll see. Time will
see. Sooner than later, pal.
PG-13 is going to be rated R. Rated R for Roughneck.
Well, Roughneck, I couldn't say it better, quite frankly. I got to let you go. We got to move on here pretty soon. So.
Yeah, let him go so you can finish with the superstar.
Yeah, I put him back on hold. He's still listening in, though.
Maybe him and John can trade numbers.
You never know. John would be pretty good for a local VFW show.
He could. He sounds like a great flag bearer.
He very well could be. Now, Robert, where can the people find you?
As always, Robert_Knight. I'm at YouTube at Robert Knight Rider. Check out the New Moon Rising Wrestling pages on Facebook. And, of course, remember, when you lay down and close your eyes and go to sleep tonight, that one man can make a difference.
We are back, and what a magical journey through time that was, Dan.
Oh, that was hilarious. I forgot how good that segment actually was.
Oh, it was such a wonderful time. That's not taking anything away from when I'm contractually obligated to bring Roughneck on, or when we have Justin America on for Justin America, or Master G's Theater.
Or, you know, when I just bring Roughneck on because, you know, you haven't picked anybody.
Or that, but I'll tell you, Robert Knight, that was just such good times.
Such good stuff, and that, of course, set up the greatest, or one of the greatest, commentary teams in independent wrestling today.
That was the genesis. The seed was planted that night. I got done the show, immediately texted Brady, and I said, are you serious? Do you want to do this? And he said, yeah, we got together, we got the tape, and there you go.
Well, and I'll tell you what, like I said, package deal, like King and JR, like Monsoon and Bobby Heenan, Brady and Double D, you just can't go wrong. You can't, there is no second rate.
Well, you know, I'll say this much. Some of the points that you might want to consider when you think of booking us. We work together monthly. We call a show each month. Sometimes
you work together monthly, but you guys do more than just New Moon.
Exactly. Sometimes two or three shows a month, and I would say weekly. We're at the Proving Grounds, either shooting a scoop slam. We have a chemistry at this point that is really second to none.
I've seen it in action, sir.
Yeah, and you know, once you've even seen it, Dan, when we turn that switch on, and the red light's on the camera, it's time to go. We deliver it.
And it's like, at this point, you guys feed off each other. Bang, 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 bang.
I agree.
Much like when we were on fire, like the other show that we used to do, when I would work with the other gentlemen, it just wouldn't click with the other two because...
Oh, my God.
You know, they had the personality of a thumbtack. When you come on, it was like a completely different show, hence One Night in Luna.
Oh, One Night in Luna. We have to dig that up.
We have to dig it up. Well, it's not hard to dig up. I know where it is. But.
Well, yeah, but I think that would be something that we could put on HIACtalkradio.com.
It's pretty funny.
You know what? I listened the other day. I have the MP3 of it. It was downloaded at the time. I listened to clean up an aisle, whatever it was, aisle 5 or whatever it is. And basically the whole idea behind that was all these ECW legends have gotten together and they work the night shift over at Target with Shane Douglas. And wackiness ensued that night, Dan.
Pick up an aisle 5.
No, the funniest thing was Bill Alfonso being the night shift manager.
Did you pick up? Somebody dropped the sauce at aisle 4, Daddy.
Such good times.
If I had a whistle, it would be complete.
It would be. You said at the time, Dan, you were going to buy a whistle. You never have.
I never bought a whistle.
Just like you haven't bought a signed Robert Knight 8x10. Made out of camera. I know, he never has. Oh my goodness. But Dan, it is about that time. Our next guest, well, our only guest, as it turns out.
Our next guest, our only, he's punctual, unless, you know.
He is, you know, 10:30, boom, he's there.
Well,
you know what, because he is, this weekend, he is going to be in an Iron Man match. He's going to try to get that title back that some would say was illegally taken from him. There's a little bit of controversy on how he lost the unified ECWA title. We're going to get into that. We're going to get into the Super 8. He is part of the Super 8 this year. He, of course, when he got his start with ECWA, was the 2010 Super 8. So we're going to get into all that. It's full circle for this young man. And really an inspiration. You know what? I think it's finally the time we talk about some of the obstacles he's overcome to get to where he is. But we're going to get to all that right after we bring him on, of course, with his theme music. Because I know he loves this theme music, Dan.
Oh, yeah. Maybe.
If it ever decides to.
There we go. Come on, feel the noise.
All right, Chris, welcome back to Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. You are with myself, the Dean of Credibility. You are with Dan, and you are with Chris. How are you doing tonight, sir?
Awesome, man. I got to calm down. Every time I hear that music, I want to wrestle, so.
I know. I want to wrestle, too.
I'm so glad I'm nowhere near you.
But, Chris, wow. You know what? We've had you on a ton of times, but we've never gotten into, and if you're not cool with it, that's fine, but... you overcame asthma to get to this point in your life. I believe it was childhood asthma. I'm not certain of the details, but if you'd like, you can go into it. If not, then we can go on to the next question.
Yeah, I'm cool with discussing that, actually.
Okay.
When I was a kid, I had asthma pretty bad. It was to the point where, you know, I really couldn't go out for recess or anything like that without... you know, needing to be put on a machine. So it was pretty chronic, and, you know, just to be doing what I'm doing now is kind of crazy when I think about, you know, where I was as a kid.
Yeah, so you've definitely overcome all of that. And now, you're the former first ever ECWA Unified Heavyweight Champion. Now, two months ago at this point, very controversial ending. I've heard the interviews that you gave with Brady Hicks after the show that night. But how do you feel? I mean, you've had a few months to think about it. I mean, how do you feel about the decision? Of course, Phil Sly came in and called for the bell. Everybody's saying that you never tapped.
Well, I didn't tap out, and I didn't say I quit. And I think you can look at the tape. It's pretty obvious that none of that ever happened. And I was obviously pretty pissed off right afterwards. I think I might have threw a chair at Brady Hicks.
We've all wanted to do that once in a while.
Yeah, Brady deserves it every once in a while.
Yeah.
Obviously I was upset. You talk about like what I dealt with when I was a kid to be able to be the first ever ECWA Unified Heavyweight Champion. Like that's a huge deal for me, and I hope people and kids that deal with asthma can look at that and think about where they could be as well. To lose it that way, man, it was upsetting. And now that I reflect back on it, I mean, I think we had a really solid match, up until that ending, to where for it to end like that. I think it's a real shame. And hey, he's holding Big Red right now, so it's obviously something that he's happy about. But I mean, I know something deep down inside the wrestler Josh Daniels. He can't be happy with the way that thing turned out after having such a good match.
Now, back to the asthma thing for a second. I mean, when you wanted to start becoming a wrestler, is that something that ever affected you during training?
Oh, yeah, all the time. When I got into middle school, I wanted to be an amateur wrestler. And I did that for a while into high school. And, I mean, I look back at the footage from that, and it was such a corny thing because between periods, I would have, normally between periods, you go and you talk to the coach for a couple seconds. He tells you what to do.
Right.
I had to eat up all my time by him handing me an inhaler. That brought me down. And then when I decided to start training, I used to keep one, under the ring just in case.
It
was always there. Yeah, and, it is what it is, but I wasn't going to let it hold me down.
Do you still have bouts of, going into a match? Like, you're going into an Iron Man match. Is that at the back of your head or what?
Honestly, it's weird. With professional wrestling, the amount of adrenaline that goes through my body, I think kind of kicks out that any kind of thinking I might have of having an asthma attack in the ring. Like, I don't worry about that. Before some matches, I might, take some stuff to help me out so it's not my brain. But now it's more mental than anything.
Right.
Saturday, that's going to be the last thing on my mind is breathing. It's going to be trying to beat Josh Daniels.
I tell you what, my sister has it really bad, really bad. So I have another level of respect for you, sir. That's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, anyone that has asthma can tell you it's like trying to breathe through a straw. You know what I mean? It's tough, man. And as I got older, it started to calm down. And then wrestling actually kind of saved. I hate to sound overdramatic or stupid, but I mean, it really saved my life as far as the way I look at going through life. If I can get in the ring with a Papillon for 25 minutes, there's not much I can't do.
Jeez.
Yeah, that's really a measuring stick because, personal feelings aside, I mean, Papadon's really a measuring stick, especially in the ECWA.
Absolutely.
Now, another thing I wanted to talk about before we get into the Iron Man match is 2010 Super 8. That's where you got your start in the ECWA. You're one of the last guys that Kettner brought in. And you've survived, of course, into the current era with Tartaglia and Joe. But, I mean, you're really coming full circle now because you're back in this year's 2013 Super 8. I mean, how does that make you feel? Is it, and you're really a completely different person, too.
Yeah, when back in 2010, you know, I was just trying to get into ECWA any way I could. You know, I was sending Jim, you know, footage almost every other week. Sometimes it was the same footage. I mean, I was just trying to be persistent and just trying to get a tryout match, you know, or just have a meeting with the guy, as he would do with a lot of talent. So when I got the call and, you know, expecting him to say, hey, why don't you come and sit down with me? Instead, he says, how would you like to be in the Super 8? Man, it was like, you know, a dream come true. And I was just, honestly, just happy to be there at that time. So we say full circle, and that's what it comes down to, you know. Now we come to 2013, and it's not about just being happy to be there, you know. It's, you know, I'll get real with you guys. I mean, I know you guys probably know, but, you know, I work as a correctional officer, but I'm not a professional wrestler. And, man, you know, I walk into hell every night. I'm about to in, you know, about an hour. You know, and it's the worst place to be in. The 2013 Super 8 is my chance to take another step of getting out of there. You know, because when you win the Super 8, people look at you different in this industry. And we know that, you know, guys from WWE and TNA, they, you know, to say that you're a Super 8 champion, whether it was in the Kenner era or in the Tartaglia Zanoli area, you know, it's something. I mean, you look at Austin Aries and Zema Ion. You got the 2011 Super 8. You know, they went on to be on TV every week. So, full circle, man. It's not just being happy to be there. It's I'm trying to get out of, you know, the weekly hell that I live in now.
Yeah, I mean, there's a weekly television program where they're showing just the type of hell that you guys have to go through. Now, getting to this weekend is, of course, the Iron Man match, the rematch. This is the third time, the trilogy, if you will be complete. And you guys have really put on some great matches. Great. And now a 30-minute Iron Man match. What's your training like going into something like this?
A lot of cardio. I've been doing a lot of running. Just when you get into a match like that, you know, it's more about, you know, we talk about breathing, ironically. It's about being able to keep up and to breathe. And, you know, whoever has the most energy is probably going to be, you know, the one that comes out on top. So, yeah, man, just a lot of cardio goes into the training more than anything else. And that's, you know, the route I've taken the past couple months.
Now, are you worried that you might have to take it to a next step if the Ironman match doesn't work out, or are you even focused to that at this point?
Man, I'm not thinking about anything but Josh Daniels in 30 minutes. And for, you know, as a lot of my lady friends could tell you, it's not every day that Chris Wilde goes 30 minutes, so. yeah, man, I'm looking forward to that match. And, you know, Josh, it's another thing that, you know, we talk about full circle, and let's just call it the theme of this year for me. You know, Josh is a guy that, you know, back a couple of years ago, man, I was scared to death to get in the ring with. You know, just not from the physical standpoint, but, you know, this is a guy that's been everywhere, done everything, you know, to put it in terms, he knows his shit.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah, this is a guy that, you know, you get in the ring with, if you don't know what you're doing, he's going to embarrass you.
Go ahead, Dan.
So now,
go ahead, Chris. Finish up first. Trust me, it's not that important.
So now, just going, you know, to have this third match with him, and for it to be 30 minutes, man, that means a lot for you know, the promoters to have that kind of confidence in me.
Did you have follow up, Dan, or
go, Dan?
Okay.
He pretty much covered it.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure.
He got it.
Where you were going now?
He's that good, Dean.
I listened to the this past week. The Bill Apter interviewed you, and J.J. Dillon is a very important figure in your life. Do you care to go into that?
Sure. J.J.'s probably the reason why, you know, I'm even talking to you guys right now, because as I was telling Bill, you know, back in 2010, like, it was to the point where I was doing these little indies here and there, you know, not making any money. You know, I had a kid, and it was like, you know, time to do something to make a living for myself. So I pretty much stopped wrestling all but once a month, and decided to become a correctional officer, and I had to chop off all my hair, which sucked. So, you know, I was ready to kind of, you know, just walk away. And, you know, there's J.J. Dillon sitting in one of the control rooms of this prison. And it's like, you know, it's like seeing Mickey Mouse in the grocery store. Just something you don't see.
Yeah.
What?
You know, so you know, I waited a year to talk to the guy because I didn't want to, you know, be like one of these, like, you know, marks that he probably sees 20 times a day. And he came and watched me wrestle. You know, just out of the goodness of his heart, man. Didn't get paid to be at the show. Didn't, you know, ask to sell anything. He just came to watch me, and he pulled me aside afterwards and said, "You got something. Don't give up. There's something there."
That's crazy.
Yeah, so now to this day, man, I'm always asking him, talking to him, just trying to get as much spice as I can.
Yeah, I mean, to have somebody on J.J. Dillon's level tell you that don't give up, move on, move forward, I mean,
yeah,
that had
wow.
to mean the world to you.
Yeah, absolutely. And, at that time, like, I wasn't in the shape I'm in now. I obviously wasn't as good as I was or as I am now. But he saw something, you know, that was in there and then had me keep going. And I think he even did a promo for ECWA with it was me and him the first time I wrestled Papadon. So he's just been a major contributor to my career. And always he'll do, you know, he's one of those guys that give the shirt off his back to you if you need it. Just an amazing human being.
Yeah, that's great. Now, moving farther ahead, Super 8, 2013, you're in there with last year's champion, Papadon. You guys have a history, obviously. You're
right.
In there with Damian Dragon. You're in there with Mike Mondo, Facade. Some of the top guys on the independent scene. I mean, what's your game plan? Because the first time you were in it didn't go so well. What's your game plan this time?
Well, the first time I was there, I actually lost in the semifinals to Tommaso, who eventually would win the 2011 Super 8. And it's kind of like you know, being on the losing end of the Super Bowl. You know, you get to see the other team celebrate, and that feeling must be horrible, and that's how I felt. So going into it this year, man, like, there really is no game plan. It's just be at your best. You know, be better than you ever have been. The training's intense. I've already started. And, you know, it's the Super 8's one of those tournaments, like I said, man, you win it, you're looked at differently. And everybody's watching that tournament. So it's when you got to bring out stuff that nobody's ever seen. And that's, if we were to say, hey, what's the game plan? I would say, you know, I'm going to go in there and show these guys some stuff that they've never seen from me.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Dan.
Okay. How do you train either mentally or physically for something like the Super 8? Like, can you prepare? Do you just go in blind? Well, I mean, I guess you don't go in blind, but how do you prepare for something where you're going to wrestle different guys potentially?
Well, mentally, you have to be smart about it and look at the guys that you're going to wrestle. So, like, me and Papadon have been in there. I know Papadon. I've wrestled Damian before, so I know some of the stuff that he throws out there. But these other guys I've never even touched or been in the ring with. So I kind of have to, you know, research them and watch their matches and see what they do and how that would reflect on what I'm going to do. As far as physically, again, it's kind of like the Ironman. You know, it's all about endurance. You know, once you're done the first match, you've got to be ready for the next one. You never know who you're going to wrestle. So the physical part is, again, just all about endurance, man. Cardio,
well,
running.
Is it kind of one of those things where, especially in the earlier rounds, you want to get out of there as quick as you can?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And, again, like, man, you look at the guys in this year's tournament, it's unbelievable. I think I probably have the least amount of experience out of everybody. I mean, you got guys that have been to WWE and have been to TNA. You know, you look at what Papadon's done this past year, across the United States. You know, Damian's been doing this forever and had done so much. Just recently wrestled ROH. It's really intimidating, and you really got to be on the top of your game. And that's what I look to do, and hopefully take this thing.
Definitely. You have the backing of Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. You know what? If it gets down to you, Papa Don, Chris Wild in the finals, I mean, that would really be a fitting end to this story that you guys have told this past year.
Absolutely. And again, you talk about full circle, man. That's where it comes full circle. That's one of the great things about, you know, wrestling at ECWA. I don't want to be like the company guy and say the company things, but man, it's the truth, you know, especially in the Super 8. The Super 8 is all about guys taking that next step. You know, I can name the thousands of, not thousands, but, you know, I can name the guys that have went on from the Super 8 to become, you know, national TV stars.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it's all about. I mean, and for fans, you better come and see a guy like Papadon, because you might not be able to see him locally, you know, as much as you want to, because it's only a matter of time before somebody snatches him up and puts him on TV. And, you know, I want to be in that spot as well.
Yeah, definitely. You did allude to the fact you are like the company guy. I think that's a really important thing. When we had Joe on back in December, we were talking about that. You do things for ECWA that a lot of guys don't do in any company, unless you get to the WWE and they're throwing money at you. Hand over fist. Like, you did a thing for the Special Olympics. You went down to Delaware. You went to Kearney's Point last time they were there. Things like that. I mean, why do you do that? Is it just how you feel you're giving back? Or, I mean, what is it?
I really believe in this company, man. Like, I grew up in Delaware. So, you know, ECWA was the thing. You know, I told Joe and Mike when they took over, you know, I believe in this company. I want to see it flourish, and I want to prove all the doubters wrong. And any way I can do that, I will. This is a company that, you know, again, like, reaches out to the Special Olympics, does things around the community, and I want to be a part of that. So.
Yeah, definitely. Now, any final words as you get ready for this Iron Man match?
I encourage everybody to come out and watch the two of us. Professional wrestling is a word that, for whatever reason, people are afraid to say nowadays. You know, sports entertainment's been put in there a lot. You come and watch me and Josh Daniels wrestle, you will be entertained. I can promise you that. This is going to be 30 minutes of hell. But we will know one thing. Whoever walks out is definitely going to be a champion, and there will be no losers at the end of the day.
All right. Is there any place the fans – I know there's a place, but is there any place the fans can follow you on this journey, this full circle journey that you're currently on?
D. Chris Wild on Twitter. I also have a Heart Killer Chris Wild fan page on Facebook, and I have a YouTube channel. I just search Heart Killer Chris Wild, and it'll come up. I'd like to just plug one other thing.
Sure.
March 16th, I'll be in Maryland for a company called ACW facing Christian York. In their tournament, which they're calling the King of Maryland tournament, Mr. Touchdown's also involved in it. Black Cheese is in there. So.
Yeah, definitely. Good luck in that. What company was that? ACW, you said?
Yeah, ACW in Maryland. It's the day after ECWA comes back to Kearney's Point, which... You want to talk about two different type of guys. I go from Josh Daniels to Atu.
Oh, so, wow. Jeez.
Yeah. I'll be wrestling Atu and Kearney's Point on the 15th.
Well, that's a big one. Atu is a pretty dangerous guy.
Yeah, like I said, two different ends of the spectrum.
Yeah, they really are. You go from a tactician, really, to just a pure brawler power guy. That's...
Absolutely.
Wow.
Nature. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, good luck with that. He's a big test for you. I mean, you probably have the experience edge on him, but he definitely has the power. So, wow. Good luck with that.
Absolutely. He's one of the big biggest human beings I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, he is, how you say, jacked. Definitely jacked. Anything else you want to get out there, Chris?
Honestly, I think we covered everything, man. Just support independent wrestling. Come out Saturday to ECWA. And again, like I said, man, my road to the Super 8 starts Saturday, 30 minutes with Josh Daniels.
One last thing. You're actually going to have a band play you out to the ring, Fading Fear.
Oh, you know what? I'm glad. I can't believe I almost forgot.
I almost forgot.
Yeah, Fading Fear. There's just so much going on. Like, it's going to be an action-packed show. Fading Fear will be playing me out to the ring, which I think is awesome. They're an awesome band. You guys know how I feel about that theme music. They're putting their own spin on it. Definitely give this a big fight feel.
Yeah, definitely. So, Chris, best of luck. You really do have an inspirational story, and, you know, good luck. Are you back in TNA gut check? I know they had some trouble with the voting. Is everything worked out there?
Well, let me put it this way. I was excited when, you know, they sent out an email to everybody about the contest, and then I went on the website, and, you know, I don't put much faith into that. I'm more on, if you're good, you're going to get there.
I got you.
I'll throw my name back in the hat, but when it comes down to it, Joe Blow can have a million friends vote for him. And not be good, you know, but you got to be good and talented to get there, and, you know, I'm willing to do that the hard way.
You know what? The moral of the story is, Chris, get more friends.
Yeah, really. I mean, it sucks to say that, but you want to be in TNA, get more friends. I mean, come on.
Yeah. But, Chris, it's always a pleasure. We'll talk to you soon. Probably as we lead up to the Super 8 a little closer, we'll have you back on.
Thank you guys so much, man. It's always a pleasure being on here with you, too.
All right. So we'll talk soon, Chris.
All right. Thanks.
I don't know why either. Get more friends. That's my advice to everyone in TNA Gut Check.
Anybody who's getting TNA Gut Check or any other company, just have a bunch of friends hit the vote button more than once.
That's apparently why it was taken down.
Skew the results.
Skew! I like that word, Dan.
Yeah.
Omega, very briefly, I want to talk about... Dana White came out during the week and said why he cut Fitch. He said he was a number one contender, went down to 5, and now he's number 9, so goodbye. He's a guy on the way out.
Yeah, I don't know. I still don't think for legitimacy of the sport that was the call to be made, but I get it. He's expensive.
I think he doesn't
put on exciting fights.
You know what, though? He did finally get to the point that he – like you were saying last week, he finally got to the point where he cost a lot. And I think that had more to do with it than anything else.
I think that's probably what it was. Like I said, I think it was probably a renegotiation play. I think at some point he'll be back, probably at some cheaper contract.
Well, he's going where? To the World Series of Fighting, right?
I don't know if Fitch is. Is he? I didn't see that.
I think he was signed to the World Series. Do a quick Google while I'm blabbing here.
But blab.
This is for you, though, because I know you wanted me to play it last week.
Fucking bullshit!
There we go. That's just for you. That's how you felt when you heard, yes.
Yes, he did verbally agree on a contract.
There you go. So thanks to the Iron Sheik there for that.
Yes.
What else do we have to cover? I think we, Chris Wilde, great guy. I really do enjoy having him on. What do you think, Dan?
No, I just, the fact that thing about the asthma blew me away.
You never heard that story?
No, sir.
Oh, see, we've had him on so much that...
And we've never mentioned the asthma thing.
Yeah, yeah. So that was my entire point, because I'm like, you know, we never told that story. It's well known. It's like been out there.
I missed that. And like I said, my sister has it bad. Bad. You know, she'll be standing there doing her job, and then 5 minutes, which, you know, is not anywhere, not in a disrespectful way, not anywhere as involved as professional wrestling, and 5 minutes later, she's got to come home and have a breathing treatment.
Jeez.
I mean, and he's, that's crazy. And he's a good guy. He's very well spoken. He'll answer your question. He's just a pleasure to have on every time.
Yeah, he certainly is, Chris Wilde, and he's really a good guy to have as that face of the company. Like I said, really doesn't ask for much in return, you know? I mean, he goes out to the Special Olympics, goes out, makes appearances for the community. Great guy. Great guy. I can't really say a bad thing about Chris Wilde's person.
No, I can't say a bad thing about him, period.
I want to get this in real quick. It's a commercial for the website, and we'll be back. It's only 30 seconds. Check out the new website at HIACtalkradio.com. Subscribe on iTunes and follow the Revolution in Wrestling Podcast. That's right. And of course, no show is complete without the Brady Hicks commercial, where pretty much nothing applies anymore, but here we go.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey guys, Brady Hicks here, Pro Wrestling Illustrated contributing writer and the host of In the Room on WEXP 1600 AM in Philadelphia and BradyHicks.com. Like what you hear, be sure to check out all the other great content available on BradyHicks.com. In the Room, Between the Ropes, JV Mail, Hell in a Cell Radio, Titus Machiavelli, The Papa Don Show, What's Wrong with Wrestling, The Book Club, Saturday Night Akbaz, The Extreme Odd Couple with Steve Carino and Rob Dimension, The O Show, The Fish Tank with Bobby Fish, and Dimple Date, The Day Dating and Relationship Show at BBradyHicks.com. Great video content, This Week in Wrestling, Stepping Out with Sassy Stephanie, WSU and ECWA TV, Completely Damaged, Wrestling Reflections with Darren Corbin, and so much more. Check it out today.
So much more.
And so much
more. There is so
Even
much
though
more.
Even though I just mentioned everything on the show.
You know what? No, there is so much more when it comes to the BradyHicks.com, and we've been there almost a year now. We've really done it. Certainly have. We've made it a year. Amen. And Dan.
What?
Are you bored? Do you need some entertainment? Well, I suggest you check out the Dream Wars Horrorcast. Isn't that right, baby?
You're gonna miss a good show tonight. That's your tough luck. I thought you kids were all about team spirit.
Not only are we gonna give you an entertaining show, but I'll tell you what I'm gonna do.
I'm gonna give you to the count of 10 to get your ugly, yellow, no good keister off my property before I pump your guts full of lead.
Find them.
Oh, I love those guys so much.
Or Podbean at DreamWars Hardcast.
This really was cut by a special person.
The original, I'm going to have to play in its entirety one day.
No!
It's like 2 minutes and 45 seconds of that. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. But, of course, you can find them on Podbean. Look for the Dream Warriors on Podbean. They are a friend of the show. They really...
They're a friend of the show, Dream Warriors.
Yeah, they worry about their dreams, that's for sure. Wow. so, it just cracks me up, those guys. I'll tell you what, we had an action-packed show with one guest this week, and we pulled it through. We discussed the CM Punk-John Cena match. We didn't even talk about Undertaker possibly coming back. Everybody's saying that it is going to be CM Punk against The Undertaker at WrestleMania. You guys enthused about that or what?
Not really.
No?
I think it's as good as anything else.
Nah.
Well, it's better than Brock, because Brock probably would have crippled the poor guy.
Yeah, I agree.
He's too busy patching his back of his head up.
My goodness, what the heck was that all about? Did he just go into the post wrong?
Yeah, he took that wrong, and now every time I see that clip, it's going to unfortunately be in black and white now.
You know what? Here's the thing. We're going a little behind the curtain here. The original plan, never mind, I'm not going to go into it. I'll tell you off air, because it would have went a little too far behind the curtain, I think. But
why stop now?
Yeah, fuck it. But anyway, we had a great show. Devin Moore, I don't know. I really want to interview the guy.
I don't.
I really want to talk to the guy.
I don't.
You know what? Maybe I'll just go for his former tag team partner, Drew Blood, instead, and we'll get him back on.
Much more entertaining.
Well, he is highly entertaining, Dan.
Yes, highly entertaining.
Maybe we'll have Loudy and Drew Blood this time.
You know what? We could talk about my golden magical locks.
Well, they did last time, Dan.
You know what? I like it when it's about me.
We could talk about Drew's autobiography coming out. It's called Lucky Strikes.
Can we talk about his head?
We already did that, Dan.
Oh, I don't remember. No, I'm kidding. I do remember. Does he remember?
Well, listen back to the episode, Dan. That night we had Joe Gacy, we had Drew Blood, we had Robert Knight, and we had Missy Sampson with a surprise call-in from Angelina Love. What the heck was that?
That was
the House of Cards fall-in?
That was me dropping something.
Oh, okay.
That board you're making a House of Cards.
I apologize.
Yes.
Yeah, it was nice talking to you too.
I didn't hear half of that, Dan.
Yeah. Probably for the best.
Probably. So you can follow the career of Chris Wilde at the Chris Wilde on Twitter.
That's W-Y-L-D.
Yes. We should spell that out because you might look for W-I-L-D and you'll never find the guy. Damn it. You should find the guy because he is a great guy. I can't say enough good things about Chris Wilde. I really can't. You know what? I want to play Devin Moore's theme because I like it.
Yeah, oh yeah, what condition my condition was in.
I woke up this morning with the sundown shining in. I found my mind in a brown paper bag, but then...
All right. My condition is in.
That's boring.
Oh, you know what? It looks like now state your name and where you're calling from.
Dean.
Yeah, state your name and where you're calling from. It's a thing that we do. Okay, well, I'm not sure who I'm talking to sometimes. So how are you doing tonight, Ryan?
I'm doing good. I just wanted to wish you an early happy birthday. I know we're a few days away from that, but I still want to throw a happy birthday out to you.
I thank you, sir, for that. You know what? I didn't even bring up the fact that we went to we went to Centralia this past weekend. What did you think of it?
I really enjoyed it. I thought it was very informational, which I'm a history guy, so you know for me, I love that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But it was something, I think, for everybody.
Well, yeah, we, of course, went up there with our number one fans, I'm going to say, the Olsons. He smiled a few times, Dan.
Well, I don't know if I would say smiled. It was more
he said
like
Dan,
a,
not Ryan.
I know that Dan, but
thank
I
you.
Was just saying.
All right, good.
I don't know if I would say it was a smile. I thought it was kind of more of like a half grimace, half grin.
No, there's a picture that David DeCook himself took. Where he smiled.
Hey,
so,
Dean, I heard you guys got there really fast.
Oh my God! I wanted to get out once we got to Centralia and hit the ground for safe travels. Next time I get in your car, Ryan, I'm gonna put up one of those little Jesus statues and just put it on the dash and hope for the best.
I have a bloody Christ for you.
I didn't even drive that fast at all.
Oh, no, you certainly didn't. You certainly didn't. My goodness. look.
Sorry, not everybody's a granny like you, Dean.
Look, I'll put it this way. If you had a flux capacitor, we would have went through time. Okay.
I'll give you that one. I'll definitely.
You're
going to
see some serious shit. That's all I'm going to say, pal. Good God. Anyway, but once we got there, the journey was fantastic. We met David DeCook. We interviewed David DeCook back in May, and finally getting to meet him, he was. You know what? Sometimes you go on these tours, people just kind of go, "Yeah, there's the steam, and here's the cemetery. Let's go." We were there for 3 hours with the guy.
Looking at grass.
No. I mean, there's new subsidence every day that's opening up. Probably was dangerous to be standing that close to holes in the ground that go down to a mine fire.
That's great.
That, to me, was the craziest part of it, was getting the chance to see what was it, PA-61?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That was crazy. Just see the gaping holes that where the ground used to be was just crazy.
Well, see, the thing is, and it's gotten worse in just 3 years. I was up there in 2010, in July of 2010, and it's still getting worse, those holes on the abandoned part of Route 61. Not only that, we saw the origin of the fire. He had pictures too that he took during the time. And one of the neat things is
I
want
to go.
You had the opportunity. One of the neat pictures that he had. There's still an old tree across the street. He took it of Connington's gas station, which is an important part of the story. They had to close it down because the gas reading, the temperature of the gas that he was pumping was like 137 degrees.
Jesus.
Oh, yeah. Quite a problem there. Fire hazard.
Flaming
but
fire.
But he took a picture of this, and across the street is the same trees there. So you can really kind of put it in perspective of where everything was. And, I didn't know where I call it the Governor Rendell sign, but it's the Governor Corbett sign now. I didn't know that's where Connington's actually stood. Didn't know it.
How many structures are actually still standing?
I would say, not including the municipal hall, which is still standing, still looks like there was somebody working in the garage, Dan. A little creepy. I didn't want to stick around and see if Pyramid Ted came out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
He could have been dragging a big knife. I don't know. But somebody was working in there, but it still looks fully functional, you know, from the outside. And so that's there. Of course, Carl Wormer's house is right across the street from where Coddington's used to stand. And he's still in, like, the impact zone. He's still there. And then it's another family that is still there. I forget the last names. I apologize on that. But I would say 5 structures plus the municipal hall. And of course, the church that's up on the hill, but that's not really Centralia. I think it's considered Centralia's church. It's a Russian Orthodox church, but it's really the next town over. And, of course, don't forget Burnsville. That was another thing. But, Ryan, how would you sum up that? Have you started the book yet?
I haven't had a chance to yet. I am going to start with them next week, though.
Yeah, definitely a great story and a fun time. Is there anything else you want to get across tonight, Ryan?
Let me just say, hopefully he gets a chance to hear it, but thank you to David DeCook. That was awesome. I had a great time, and I just want to say thank you. I said happy birthday to you.
Yeah.
Just for the record, that Dream Warriors commercial makes me feel like I'm about to be violated. Just a little bit creepy.
Well, you should have heard. Dan, did you hear the newest commercial I cut? I'm not airing it, but did you get a chance to hear that?
No.
You haven't heard it? Remember we were having a conversation about it? Our newest sponsor?
Yes.
You haven't heard it yet?
Yes, I have.
Well,
yes, I have. I'm just upset that you did not require assistance with that since we, kind of did it. It together originally.
Well, but I just cut it, and I wasn't even going to do it. But anyway, maybe it will make its our newest sponsor. Maybe it will make its way on home.
Much more entertaining than a Dream Warriors.
And I have to talk like this. have to put on the commercial voice.
If you want some great action.
Exactly. So,
blah, blah, blah.
But, Ryan, thank you for the birthday wishes. Thank you for calling in. I certainly do appreciate it. I think 80. I'm seeing you tomorrow, right?
Yeah, I'll be there. I'll be there.
All right. So,
what time are you guys going to get there?
Probably 8-ish.
I don't know. When are you picking them up?
I'll probably get around that time.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right. I'll see you tomorrow. Dan, have a great evening.
Thank you, sir.
And Chris gets denied again.
No, it's not that. I wasn't sure if he was on. I just kind of jumped on a little while ago, so I wasn't sure if he was on. But Chris, have a great evening as well, and enjoy the rest of your week.
You too.
Still there.
Oh, right.
Still there?
No, he's gone. Yeah. So that was Ryan, a contributor to the show and the website.
Fast beating tickets daily.
What did you say?
Contributing to heartburn and fast beating tickets.
Oh, just stop it. No. I thought you two were on good terms.
We're on good terms. Just pick it on him. I'm fine. Well, I'm on good terms. I'm not worried about him.
Will you just stop it? Just stop it, Dan.
I've followed both you, both him and Brady to different wrestling events, and I'll tell you, I've never get the car with one of them again.
Don't get me started.
I'm just saying I would love to help you towards your goal of not having to ride with them anymore.
Bless Jehovah that you make it through. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
I do want to say thank you to Robert Knight. Even though he wasn't physically here, we still had Robert. So follow him on Twitter at @RobertKnight_. And that's Knight with a K. Knight with a K. And, of course, follow New Moon Rising Wrestling, the hottest, the newest, the best on the independent scene, quite frankly.
Pretty much.
And you can find them at nmrwrestling.com and on the Twitter at @NMRWrestling. Also, Chris Wilde at The Chris Wilde and ECWA Pro Wrestling. .com for all your ECWA news and views. Indeed.
Mm.
I would like to announce on that note that we are going to have DJ Hyde on to discuss the Best of the Best tournament coming up on the 13th of April. I did confirm with him today, so we will have DJ Hyde on.
You know what?
Also that night, Dan, it gets better. Also that night, the defending Super 8 champion, the Greek god Papadon, will be on.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be an awesome show.
You know what? Maybe I should try and get Robert Knight just to make it the most awesome show ever.
Yeah. I'll agree with that.
But instead, I'll probably try to get Devin Moore for the third time. Devin Moore. Writing it down now. Get Devin Moore. My notes for tonight are very simple. Get Devin Moore.
You're doing that interview by yourself.
Third time. Well, I expected that anyway.
Nobody does stand me up.
And Jimmy Snuka never will be booked.
And Shirley Blanchard will never be back.
Yeah.
I'll never be booked. Okay, and we burned our bridge with Tully.
Why have we burned our bridge with Tully?
I don't know. You were talking about spousal abuse.
No, I don't believe it, and if I didn't know about it.
If I didn't know about it, it didn't happen.
It didn't happen.
I love you, kid.
It was alternative history or something. Or another dimension. Or
I'm sure.
If I didn't hear about it, it didn't happen.
McKinley was assassinated. I didn't hear about it. Oh, Dan.
Lee Harvey Oswald. I don't know what you're talking about.
It didn't happen.
It didn't happen.
Moon landing. I didn't hear about it.
It's the ostrich syndrome.
Anything that happened before my time did not.
Didn't happen.
Just didn't.
Challenger never exploded.
I love it, Dan. But, Dan, I think it's...
No, I, you know, I...
stuff. Certain things are only brought up, you know, for argument sake.
Well, he's breaking up again.
Yes, he is.
He is breaking up again, but I'm going to go further into the past here and go with a classic outro. Brady.
Classic.
Yes, Brady, this is for you because this is a classic outro. But I do want to say for Omega Squad, where can the fine people find you?
Find me on Twitter, at Omega Squad.
For Dan Law, are you there, Dan?
Dan Law 83.
He is there. And I am, of course, the Dean of Credibility, the best on the mic. I'm stealing it. You can find
I'm giving it to you. You are the best.
You can find me on
at even Folter. Backstage.
Don't get me started, Dan. But Brady, this is for you. And you can find Brady at Brady Hicks on Twitter and at thebradyhicks.com. But here you go. This is a classic for Brady.
There's a reason why they say not to do this at home.
The body.